Hey love, Ashley Han here, online branding and marketing strategist, entrepreneur, author, and coach, and welcome to a brand new special exclusive series of my show called Female on Fire, where I am taking you behind the scenes with incredible, powerful, successful, sexy, radiant females on fire. From spine-tingling pain to power stories, real and raw girl talk, to actionable tools and frameworks that you can use and apply in your own life, it is my intention that as you listen to each of these episodes, you will feel a spark light up inside of you and walk away feeling on fire and radiate that beautiful, unique, powerful flame out into the world. Let's dive in. Sigrid Tasias is an embodiment and leadership coach, speaker, author of Intimacy Within, and host of the top-rated podcast Sacred Leaders. She's also a humanitarian and modern science woman. She supports mission-driven entrepreneurs to embody their deepest truth and alignment to amplify their impact in the world from the inside out. And that's exactly what we go into in today's episode. It's all about embodiment so you can create everything that you desire, everything that you want, everything in your vision from the inside out. She is also an expert in the integration of purpose and success. She really bridges ancient wisdom and modern leadership to help those who are ready to really up-level their game in life, their leadership, their entrepreneurship, through looking at the person behind the business and aligning with a higher version of themselves. She is an amazing, potent, powerful woman, and I am so excited for you guys to learn from her today, to experience her wisdom and her beautiful energy. So without further ado, let's dive into the episode. Sigrid, my sister, I'm so, so excited to have you on the podcast today to be a part of this Female on Fire series because you are absolutely a female on fire. And I'm really excited for our topic today. I feel like it's going to be really powerful and really give the women listening some ideas of what they can do to create, to really embody who they get to be to create the impact that they're creating in the world. So that being said, Sigrid, welcome to the show. So happy to have you here.
Thank you so much. Such a pleasure. I'm excited.
So how did you, I'm curious, how did you get into this work? Like, why are you so passionate about it?
Yeah, so I actually come from a background of corporate and had nothing to do with embodiment. And through a really strong breakup, that brought up a lot of my stuff that I didn't know I had, wounding around abandonment and rejection and all of the different things that I hadn't dealt with, I started to suffer from extreme anxiety. So at the time, I hired a coach because doing anything in life just became a challenge. And I started to work with her. And through that, I moved from my corporate job in the city I was living in to Australia. I became a yoga and meditation teacher, and my whole life changed. But it wasn't until I met the first embodied leader, as I said, the first person I sat in a plant medicine ceremony with, that I was really able to understand the missing piece of my personal development journey. I had read all of the books and done so many coaching seminars and listened to all of the podcasts, all of the things, but there was something that I hadn't found within myself yet. I hadn't been able to come home to myself. So it doesn't matter how many books I was reading and how many seminars I was attending, I still didn't feel at home. I still didn't feel really confident and really at peace within. So when I met this embodied leader, everything changed for me. I was able to see this combination of fierce softness, of wisdom and playfulness, this meeting a person that was really comfortable in themselves, that was really comfortable in who they were. And that was an absolute game changer for me because I was able to see replicated how it was to be in the presence of someone that wasn't in the work for the money or the success or their external validation, which there's nothing wrong with that. But if that's what drives us, then there's an issue in there. But this person was in it for the service, and it was deeply embodied in her being. So through that, and then moving forward in my journey, going to all of these different embodiment and leadership workshops and meeting more and more people that had done the embodiment work, it became so obvious to me that in order to move from performative leadership into conscious leadership, embodied leadership, we had to do that work. So because it transformed everything in my reality, from my business, my leadership, my relationships, and how I feel within myself, I just became extremely passionate about supporting people that in the same way are doing all of the work, but something is missing. And I found that it's the embodiment piece that tends to be missing.
Mm-hmm. Like we get so caught up in the doing that we forget about the being, that we're not human doings, we're human beings. So really being it. So I love that. So good. And what would you say, Sigrid, what does embodiment really mean to you? Like, how would you define that?
Yeah. So when you look on Google or whatever dictionary, it says that embodiment is a tangible or visible form or idea, quality or feeling, let's say. And how I like to explain it is, do you know things or do you know things? The first knowing being a concept, an idea that you learned, that you heard, that made sense, that conceptually you stored in your brain as like, yeah, that makes sense. I like that. I know that. Or do you know it? Second knowing being in your body. Has it been integrated in your being? Has it become second nature? So oftentimes when we look at people that want to manifest and create the life of their dreams, the relationship of their dreams, the business of their dreams, there's a lot of times where people may feel blocked regardless of how much subconscious reprogramming or affirmations or mindset work they do. And it's because their beingness, their nervous system, their energetic container isn't matching the ideas and concepts that they have in their brains. So it's really a matter of integrating the ideas, the concepts, the information pieces that you have in your brain into your body so that they become second nature.
So good. Yes, it's so true, because it's one thing. So I always say, you can't read about transformation. You can't listen about it. You can't talk about it. Be about it. You know, it's a being, and it's something that's fully, as you said, it's integrated, and it's something that you act from. Like, it's literally the fromness that you're acting and in everything that you do. Be, do, have. I say that a lot. You know, it's all about the being. And so, yeah, that's beautiful. I love that. And when you coach your clients, because I know this is something that all of your clients come to you for, you're an expert in this and really supporting people and integrating what they know to be true into their body, into their being. What are some like key, well, I want to start with first, what are some key hiccups that a lot of people come up against, right? Like, what are some things that's like, oh, they come up against and they're like, whoa, okay, that's challenging. Like some common things that you've, you know, worked through with your clients when it comes to embodiment. And then I would love to kind of dive into what you work then through, like practices and examples that maybe even these listeners right now could dive into themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. So as a hiccup, the first thing that I see happens a lot is these people may get in the way. And this, I think we all do this in one way or another. At some point, we've all done it, which is getting in the way of our healing and getting in the way of our embodiment, because of how we think we should be and where we think we should be at. So a lot of my clients come to me being, but I've studied this, I coach this, I'm trained on this, I have a certification, I've read the book, why am I still here? So they want to be more embodied, but in order to be more embodied, they get to heal the very thing that's getting in the way of them actually declaring and embodying that thing that they want to be. And for as long as you judge yourself and you beat yourself up for being where you are, you're not able to transmute and heal that very one thing. So I always say, you can't heal a wound with the same energy that created it. Let's say that you have a wounding around not being enough. When that happened, the little girl, the little boy inside of us says, I'm not good enough for whatever circumstance we go through, whatever it is that happened in your childhood. And what that inner child needed, what that little girl needed, was love in that moment. was acceptance. What's to feel like she was seen, she was heard, she was enough as she was. So when that wounding comes up, if we try to utilize the same energy that created the wound in the same place in the first place to heal it by going, you're not good enough, you should be over this, you should be healed, you should know better, we're just getting in this loop that we can't get out of. So this is the first thing that I would say. I see this happen so often. People judging themselves for not having done the healing, and that very judgment is what gets in the way of their healing.
This is so timely and so perfect, because I literally, and I love the way that you put it, because it's different than how I put it. So I'm so excited for the women listening right now, because this could land in a whole new way for them and really, really create a powerful breakthrough, because that was so key. It was so powerful what you said. I want everyone to write that down right now. You cannot heal a wound with the same energy that created it. So write that down, because that is so key. I was just coaching one of my diamond clients on, which is one of my private clients, on this exact thing. I was listening to her, and in my listening, I could really hear a lot of shoulding. So she was shoulding all over herself, shoulding all over other people. And she didn't realize, of course, that she was doing this. And I wanted to shine light on that for her, because shoulding is a form of judgment. It's a form of resistance to what is. It's a form of resistance, and what we resist persists. So I love what you said about that, that acceptance that we must have around that thing that's coming up, instead of that resistance of like, why am I still here? Why am I still here? Like, I should have known this by now. Like, I've done this, this, and that. Like that. Literally, that's what she was saying to me yesterday. So this is super fresh in my mind. And the key here is that part of you, that part of you that's coming up, deserves more love, not less. Deserves more love, not less. And we cannot transform or transmute something that we don't first accept exists within us. So that acceptance is key. I mean, awareness is obviously the first step, like seeing it, that it's there. We can't do anything with something if we don't even see that it's there. So seeing it and then accepting it. And that's the key step that I feel is so easy to try to bypass and or just miss completely. And we don't realize that we're actually in a space of, it is total self-judgment and it's self-beat up. And it's coming from the same space, as you said, that actually created the wound in the first place. So, so powerful. And that's what keeps, as you said, us in feedback loops. So it's like this feedback loop that we keep creating for ourselves. And it's like the same underlying issue, new situation, like same thing, different guy, you know? I love it. So good. Oh my gosh. Is there anything else that you wanted to add to that or shine light on before we kind of go into what you do to support people on getting through the other side and embodiment practices and that kind of stuff?
Yeah. So another thing that comes to mind is around getting really clear around what it is that you want and what it is that you think you should be and you should have. Coming back to the shoulds, like you were saying, because a lot of the times, the lack of embodiment, and especially when we're working on confidence and wanting to feel empowered within, oftentimes my clients come to me saying, you know, I should have these and I want these. There's these goals I have of how I want to show up, how I want to feel, what I want to have. But when we break them down, a lot of those goals aren't coming from an aligned space of what they truly want. But sometimes they come from what they think they should have. I had a $300,000 year last year, so I should do 4 or 5 this year. I had whatever, like it goes like this. I had a relationship for 2 years, so we should be getting engaged right now. Like things like that, they happen over and over. So really getting clear on whether your goals and aspirations are the things that you truly do want from a space of heart, a space of alignment, or things that you think you should be wanting and you think you should be accomplishing. Because oftentimes it's really hard to be in alignment and in embodiment where we are chasing something that isn't. So getting really clear on that so that you make sure your time, energy, and focus is going to really embodying and aligning with the things that you truly do want.
Yeah. Yes, that's such a great exercise. I really invite each of you listening right now to write that list. You can pause this episode, do it now. You can do it after the episode, but write that list of the things that you are telling yourself, you've been telling yourself that you should do or should have. Write all of those out and then look at each of them and ask yourself, do I really want this? Like, do I really want this? Do I really want this? Do I really want this? And just being real with yourself and honest with yourself. And then what do I want? Asking the question from a space of heart, which you said, mm-hmm. Sigrid, is heart, not a space of logic, but a space of heart. Like, what is my heart's desire? Like, what do I actually want? And that question right there is so powerful, especially for you ladies listening. Like, that is where the power of your feminine lies, is when you're actually leading with your desire of what your heart truly wants and leading from that space. So I really invite you guys to take that on as part of the work that comes through this episode, because I think that is so powerful. And you will see, if you really take this on and fully go all the way, what comes through when you're really asking at a soul level, like, what do I want? Like, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? What comes through that may surprise you. Mm-hmm. It may surprise you. It probably will surprise you. And that's the exciting part. So I love that. I love that we just kind of created an exercise for them too from that. So good.
Yeah.
Okay, Sigrid. So let's get into some practices. I'd love to know sort of what you take your clients through, you know, for them to really integrate what it is that they want when they do, you know, realize what it is that they want. How do they integrate and really embody what it is that they're setting out to create in the world?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the first thing is to find, why are we not there yet? And what I find is that the majority of the times the answer is we don't feel safe. Mm-hmm. So the majority of the times, if we say we want something, but we don't yet have it, is because we don't feel safe to have it. That may look many different ways. We can have self-sabotage. We can have all these different stories that we think are getting in the way. We can have what we think is a lack of resources or a lack of time, a lack of energy, a lack of money. But actually, at the core of it, there's a little girl that doesn't feel safe to have what she says she wants. So how we work through this looks different every time, but it comes back to, what do you need in order to create a sense of safety and a sense of consistency, so that this new path that you're trying to create goes from being this like really dodgy path between the bushes that nobody has ever walked through to becoming a highway, something that has been, like, you've gone there many times. This is how it is when we're creating new pathways and we're creating new ways of being. So we first work on finding a sense of safety within. And this looks many different ways. Sometimes there's inner child healing work that we get to do. Sometimes it's trauma-related work that needs to happen. Sometimes it's somatic releasing work that gets to happen. But at the core of it is recognizing, what is the story that either your mind or your body, your nervous system, is saying about what you can't have or you can't be, what you say you want? And then working on creating that safety within. Creating safety as well sometimes may look like creating a sense of trust within yourself, looking at all of the ways in which you are currently breaking your word to yourself and realizing that every time you break your word to another or to yourself, your subconscious mind is collecting data all of the time. So you are sending the information to your subconscious that you are not worthy of trust. So oftentimes we say, I want to start this project, or I want to find the man of my dreams, or I want to, whatever it is. And the mind goes, whatever. Reason being, because it has so much proven confirmation that every time you say you're going to do something, you don't. Mm. So yes, sometimes we get to go deeper and do that trauma work, that inner child work, that somatic releasing work. Sometimes this is something that the listeners can start doing. It's really simple is getting clear on, how are you not creating a sense of safety within yourself because your actions are breaking your trust? So write down, what are some ways in which you are currently breaking your word? Are you saying you really want to step into your leadership this year, but then spending hours scrolling mindlessly through social media? Are you saying that your health is your priority this year or this month, but then waking up and going straight to your phone? Like, what are the things that you are doing and not doing that are in misalignment with what you say you want? And starting there is a really great way to start creating a sense of trust within so that you can feel safer in your company. This is something that we underestimate and is so big. We try to find safety in partners, in financial stability, in the followers, in the consistent sales, whatever it is. But we miss the point when we are not creating a sense of safety within, knowing that we have our backs, that we can trust ourselves. And this is so, so important. So there's other practices as well, such as getting in the body. In order to be embodied, you get to get in the body. So really practices that can be as simple as going for a morning walk in silence with yourself and really connecting with your heartbeat, connecting with your steps as you go. It can be as simple as having a little dance party. It can be as simple as jumping and shaking. There's all these different somatic resources to support your nervous system to come into regulation. And if you want, we can go more into that. But there's all these different resources and ways to get in the body that aren't necessarily super complex, or you don't necessarily need to go into a whole program in order to do them. But the more you get in the body, the more you get out of your head and into your body, the easier it becomes to be able to hear what you truly need, because the inner voice speaks louder when we're not listening to the noise in the head. So I'd say creating a sense of safety within through being somebody you can trust is absolutely crucial. And then getting in the body, moving your body, connecting to your breath, getting grounded so that you can truly hear the messages that your body is trying to give you. Those are two really simple things that people can start doing that are absolutely life-changing.
Safety is something you create from within. Be somebody that you can trust. Yes, so good. And I love that question. Like you had a few, like really asking yourself, what are the ways that I'm breaking my word to myself right now? You know, what have I said I'm going to do? What have I declared that I haven't been in true alignment with? I haven't been in integrity with. It's so perfect too, because if y'all heard the last episode, that whole episode was around integrity and accountability and keeping your word. So how perfect. So if you didn't listen to that episode, I highly recommend going in and listening to that again. It's funny though, two totally different energies, you and Beth, who was the guest in that episode. And just, yeah, it's super powerful to be able to apply both, because it's absolutely true. We get to be somebody that we trust. We get to create that sense of safety from within, because when we think about it, like when you take a leap of faith to say you decided, you know what, I've been pursuing my purpose as a side hustle and I've decided I'm going to take that leap and I'm going to quit my job and I'm going full time in my purpose. And you take that quote unquote leap of faith. Guess who that leap of faith is for? You. It's about you trusting you, you know? So that's huge. And I think it's like, it can be those micro moments, guys. So in a moment where you start to catch yourself, because once you write that list, you're going to start to shine light on the ways in which you have broken your word in the past so far. So now you're going to become that much more aware of it when you do it in the moment, when it's happening, so that in that moment, you can interrupt that and say, hey, wait, this is a time when I get to keep my word. Like, this is an opportunity where I get to keep my word to myself. This is an opportunity where I get to say no to something or whatever that is. And that's like every time that you do that is like a deposit. If you think of like a piggy bank of trust inside of you, like it's a deposit in that piggy bank of trust. Every micro moment, every time that you choose to be your word, to honor your word, you're depositing in that bank account.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And another powerful question that I would invite everybody to ask is, how would that version of yourself, that version of you that you are calling in, that you are declaring, that you're wanting to step into, how would she behave? Like, just get clear on what's out of alignment, because yes, sometimes you will get to hire the coach. You will need support to do the deeper healing. Of course, oftentimes we can do all of these lists and get really good at keeping our word, and there's deeper healing that gets to happen. We need to do the inner child work. We need to do the somatic experiencing work so that our nervous system can clear up these things and catch up, and our subconscious mind can catch up to the reality that we're wanting to experience and to call in. But start there. Start with, where are you not showing up like the person that you would like to feel like, be like, show up like, magnetize from?
So good. Yeah. And there's so much power to what you just said, because so many of us are automatically, it's like an automatic thing that we do as sub, we're just acting out of our subconscious. We're operating from current circumstance. We're operating from circumstance versus possibility versus vision. So, and if we go back to what we were talking about earlier, is when you're acting from circumstance, what do you think you're creating more of? More of the circumstance. Yeah, more of the same thing. That's how we get caught again in that feedback loop. So I love that question of, what would she do? What would that woman who I see, like, I want to be that woman. This is the woman who I know I am committed to being, right? And acting from that place, choosing from that place, making decisions from that space. That's huge. That question in and of itself is massive. In those moments, asking yourself, what would my highest self do? What would that woman do? Mm-hmm. What would vision do? So good. So good. And I would love to actually, I feel like I'm guessing that the listeners right now want to hear more about this too. Can you talk into, because you were like, oh, we can kind of dive into that a little more if you want. Somatic processes. This has been like a you know, something that more and more people are finding out about. We had at my last retreat, Amber Valdez came. I think you know Amber. Yeah. She came, and she was one of the other lead facilitators, and she led a really powerful session, and she was doing a lot of somatic work with the girls. So I would love for you to kind of speak into that, if anyone listening is wondering what that is and sort of what that entails. Obviously, without getting like super into it, but I would just kind of love to touch on that for the listeners.
Yeah, of course. So in a nutshell, the body remembers everything that the mind doesn't. So even when we don't have explicit memories, when we don't remember everything that happened to us, or in the mind, we may think that we're over something, that we're done with that, that it's not a big deal. The body remembers it until we process it. So every single piece of trauma, every single time that you got upset, every single time that something was too fast, too much, too soon, it gets stored in the body as stagnant energy, as trauma. And until we move it, it is there. It can create physical disease. It can create energetic blocks. And as I was saying, we can do all of the mindset work. We can do all of the affirmations and subconscious reprogramming. But if the body, if the nervous system doesn't catch up to the reality that we know to be true in our minds, we're almost like, it's like trying to walk with just one leg, right? It's like, it doesn't really work. You can make it, but it's not, you're not going to be able to run. You're not going to be able to walk comfortably, like, and you're going to look weird. So that's what's going to happen if you just keep doing the mindset work, forgetting to allow your body to also move all this stagnant energy out of it. So through somatic practices, we allow the body to express whatever needs to be expressed and to come out. And it's really powerful. I've had some of the biggest healings of my life through doing sound, breath, movement exercises, because the mind can only understand so much, but the body knows. The body has this stored information within it. And sometimes we can move energy without even realizing or intending to. But oftentimes we do get to do these processes with intentionality to allow these deeper traumas, these deeper layers of stagnant energy to move through. And when we do that, our energetic container, our capacity to hold things increases. So I always say I couldn't be who I am and where I am today if I wouldn't have worked on expanding my container, building the body to be able to hold what I hold today. If I was the person that I was when I was suffering from anxiety in my corporate job, I could by no means, like no way I could hold my mastermind and my one-on-one clients and my podcast and my retreats and my relationship and all of the different things I hold with grace and feeling spaciousness and feeling joy and feeling great within myself. So when we want to, I always say, when we want to create a bigger life, we need a bigger plate.
Yeah.
You can try to stuff more things in this one plate, but how long until it all starts falling apart? It starts falling from the plate and everything's a mess and the floor is just full of food. Like you get to change the plate. You want a bigger life, you will need a bigger plate. And it doesn't matter how many affirmations you do, if your nervous system doesn't feel ready to receive it, you won't. So this is why we do somatic work, to allow the body, the nervous system, to feel safe to have and be the things that we desire. So it is something that I absolutely recommend people looking into, like so powerful. And there's many different processes that you can do by yourself without having to go into the deeper trauma healing. Like I said, dancing, jumping, shaking, all of those are techniques that you can use to move energy in and from your body without having to go into these deeper processes, which I absolutely recommend you do with somebody that has been trained and knows how to hold space for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, I align and agree with everything that you just said. So much of it. And I love that, guys, really hear what she said about expanding your plate, because you can have it all. Truly, you can have it all. You don't need to live an either or life where you're constantly sacrificing and settling. You can live it all. You can have it all and you can be it all. And you do that by what Sigrid said, is learning how to expand your plate. It's not about piling more things on your plate and becoming super busy and overwhelmed and exhausted and anxious and all the things. I really relate to you, Sigrid, of course. And in more than one way, but especially when you talked about anxiety. I was diagnosed with severe anxiety disorder. It's a huge part of my pain to power story. And so I really hear you with that. It's so funny because nothing changed on the outside in terms of, well, now I have obviously, yes, the things that have changed in terms of how they look, but it all happened because I changed from the inside. So, which is all about what embodiment is. It's right. It's changing from the inside out. It's expanding from the inside out. It's embodiment from the inside out. So you're creating the results from it's the be do have. Mm-hmm. So, and I also wanted to also highlight what you said about somatic work. So let's just put it this way, in a way that I know all of you guys can understand. So I've got a dog, Tucker. Okay. And y'all know, because if you follow my stories at all, you know how obsessed I am with my little fur baby, Tucker. And when something, like say there's a loud booming noise or something that's super scary and startling to Tucker, what do you think the first thing Tucker does once that noise thing has gone away?
Yeah, shakes.
He shakes. He shakes his entire body every time. Like if he trips as he's walking down the stairs, which he does often because he's super clumsy, what does he do as soon as he gets to the bottom of the stairs? He shakes. He shakes it off. That this is what animals do. You could take a wild gazelle in nature being chased by, you know, a tiger, okay? And this gazelle is being chased. The first thing that this gazelle does, as soon as this gazelle comes to safety and no longer is being chased by this tiger, is they shake their whole body. They shake it off, which is why they can go to that same pond or wherever that chasing started. Like say they were drinking from a pond, minding their own business, and the freaking tiger appeared out of nowhere and startled and all the chase happened. That's why they can go back to that same pond without having anxiety and fear and overwhelm and all these things coming up for them, because they shook it off. They've released it, physically released it from their body, so it's not being stored. So I just wanted to draw that example because animals do it all the time.
Yeah, I love that you brought that up. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And so I love it. I believe in this work. Oh, I believe in somatic work so much. And just even seeing, like I said, what Amber facilitated for my group, it was so powerful. So, so powerful. The breakthroughs that were created from that session and the release that happened from that session. Absolutely. So I have I have a question, Sigrid, that I ask every female on fire in this series. And I feel like we're coming to that point and I'm excited to hear what your answer is, which is, Sigrid, what is something about you that you used to maybe dim, hide, mute, maybe even shame about yourself that you have since reactivated and reignited on your journey to becoming the female on fire that you are today?
Yes, I love that. My depth, absolutely. That's something that I shamed. I would say my depth and my humor. These two things I shed away, I hid, I made wrong, I'm too deep, too silly, whatever stories can't be deep in this context, can't be funny in this context. And as I continue to expand in my own journey of embodiment, those are two things that I've reclaimed and that I love and that make such a big part of who I am. And my business, my leadership, everything is really ignited and activated through this, my depth and my playfulness, my humor, my funniness.
I love that. I love that. And so when you say, I'm just curious, because that's a new one, the depth. I think I've heard silliness, like goofiness. Well, that's one of mine for sure. I'm super goofy, but I did for a long time judge myself for that. I felt I like labeled myself as a dork, and now I'm like owning that I'm a dork. I love it. So I relate with you on that one. So depth, can you talk a little bit, because that's a new one. I hadn't heard that one yet. So what was that like for you? Like what ways? I just love to hear more.
Yeah, absolutely. So for people that are into astrology, I'm like a 5-time Scorpio. So that's meant to be like the deepest of the deepest of the deepest. I've always loved the esoteric world. I've always been a really deep thinker, a really deep feeler, and I've always been really intuitive. So even since I was a child, I could feel if somebody was lying, if somebody was being inauthentic, if somebody was being like maybe saying they were okay, but they weren't, I could just feel all of it. Mm-hmm. And it annoyed me a lot because I felt like I was living in these two worlds, like everything I could see and sense, and then what people said and showed. And it made me feel really disconnected. Like I couldn't trust people because I knew that there was so much more to them than what they were sharing. And I made it wrong. I made it mean that I wasn't light enough or girly enough or just like, you know, simple enough, relatable enough. And I made all these stories about it, especially after my days of high school and then corporate and all of that. It was like, you can't show this part. It's too much. I made it mean that it was too much. But as I continued my work with coaching, embodiment and leadership coaching, and then my journey with the medicines, I've been like hundreds of plant medicine ceremonies. And I realized that was part of my gift. Like that is why people love to be around me. That is why people feel so safe around me. That is why exactly, because I can see that. So I have since reclaimed that and really love that I am that deep.
Yes, you are. Oh, that's so good. Yes, I love that one. And it's so interesting because when you first said it, I'm like, depth, how could, you know, that's why I had to hear it work. So I'm like, how could you want to hide that you have depth? And I'm like, oh, okay, I see. And this is so interesting, right? We do this as humans. It's like the things that are such gifts, right? That can be such gifts if we choose to see them in that light and we choose to channel them in that way. Like that's such a massive gift and a huge part of who you are. And it's a huge part of what you do and what you create and what you facilitate and all of it. So I'm so thankful. We are also thankful that you reclaim that gift because that is now your superpower. And it's always been your superpower. So good. Okay, babe. Well, I have so enjoyed this whole episode. I knew that I would, and I'm sure the listeners got so much out of it. I hope y'all took notes. I know you did. And Sigrid, where can they go to learn more about you, to stalk you? Because I'm sure now they're just like, who is, oh my gosh, I need to follow her. I want to see more of her things. I need to learn more about her. And also if there's anything, any resource or anything that you want to share, feel free to do that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So Sigrid Tasius and Instagram, Facebook, all of the places, website. I don't really hang out on Facebook so often. So I would say go to Instagram. That's where the juice is. My name is one of those names that you probably want to go to the show notes and find how you type it. But yeah, Secretas isn't everywhere. And I also have a podcast called Sacred Leaders. You, Ash, actually came and delivered an amazing episode in there as well. So absolutely recommend people to tune into that. And for resources, well, what I'm most excited about right now is my mastermind, The Embodied Woman. So this is something that I offer a couple of times a year, and we're starting again in September. This is a 6-month initiation into your fullest expression of womanhood and your gifts. So if you are wanting to do this deeper inner work, then check that out. You can check that out at secretasses.com/theembodiedwoman. And yeah, I imagine everything will be in the show notes. I have one of those names, you know, you just have to check it in the show notes.
Beautiful.
Find me on Instagram, find me on the podcast Sacred Leaders, and that's available as well, The Embodied Woman.
Awesome. So we will be sure and put all of that in the show notes for you guys. So be sure and check that. And I know what you mean about the name. That's why I shortened mine. My full last name is Hannah Wacker. For those of you who don't know, it's not Han, and it's also not Han. So, I did that for, because it was like every time I used to have actually my whole Hannah Wacker written out on my screen, like years and years ago, and people would come up to me and be like, Hannah, call me Hannah. And I'm like, my name is not Hannah. Okay. This is changing. I'm going to change this. Awesome. Okay, love. Well, I am so thankful, so, so thankful for you coming on the show, for you just pouring into the audience, pouring into me. You have such a beautiful energy. You're doing such amazing work on this planet, and your medicine is so potent. And I'm so excited to continue to get to know you in this container that we're in together. And I'm just super thankful. So thank you for coming on the show, sister.
Such a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
If this episode spoke to you, and especially if you are a driven, ambitious woman who is ready to dive deep so you can rise up to the next level and become truly unstoppable against any and all obstacles in your way, go to femaleonfire.net now. It is time to reignite that spark inside of you so you can radiate it out. Those parts of you that have been lying dormant, that you've been hiding, muting, shaming. It's time to reignite that flame inside of you so you are lit up from the inside out, irresistible, magnetic, in command of every room and every situation, and no one ever, ever forgets your name. Go to www.femaleonfire.net. That's femaleonfire.net, or click the link in the show notes to learn more. You can also shoot me a DM on Instagram that says FOF for Female on Fire now. And as always, thank you so much for listening, and especially for rating, reviewing, and sharing the episode. You're amazing. I love you. Have a powerful day.